chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I am thrilled to have Brittany Ruby Miller on the show today. Brittany is the CEO at Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment and the author of the book, Five Star Life. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. So Brittany, I have been looking so forward to this episode with you. My goodness, I've got pages and pages and pages of notes, literally. And I seriously just last year, I always like to go back and say the origins of how I meet someone. And you and I are involved in YPO, specifically in the Christian Fellowship Network. We have a vision of values every year. This last year was our 25th annual VNV. And here you show up, this beautiful, beautiful girl, and we just started talking, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I love this girl. You were so sweet. You've got a book out called Five Star Life, The Faithful Fight to Overcome Obstacles and Pursue Excellence. And at the end of our time, you gave me your book, a copy of your book, and wrote the sweetest note in the front. The next thing I know, I'm like recruiting you to be on the board for Christian Fellowship Network. You said you would, and you've jumped in with both feet. I mean, you have helped us so much in the VNV that's happening in 2023 by securing resources. So we've got more to talk about than I know we're going to have time for, but I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for allowing me to be on the board. It's an amazing event. We're going to have a good time. I can't wait.
Yes. So if there's any YPOers out there listening, please check in with us. This is going to be an amazing, amazing event. So, but here's the thing, Brittany, your dad, you know, is a really famous fine dining restaurateur person, Jeff Ruby. You are the CEO of Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment. You didn't start there, and we're going to talk about that, but now you are the CEO. Both of your brothers, Dylan and Brandon, are in the business too. So I love that it's you guys are continuing the legacy that your dad started. But you guys have 7 different steakhouses, maybe, and working on the 8th. You have the famous Precinct, which is like the premier restaurant, I believe, there in Cincinnati, your headquarters in Cincinnati. But let me ask you, what was it like? Let's go back. What was it like growing up as a Ruby for you?
Growing up as a Ruby was adventurous, I will say. My father is very colorful and outspoken, but I joke that I just wanted my last name to be Miller instead of Ruby when I was growing up and fly under the radar. And ironically, now I married Caleb Miller. And so I am a Miller, and I love my name so much now that I changed my middle name to Ruby and refer to it as my stage name. So Caleb wasn't the type of guy that wanted me to hyphenate my name. We'll just say that. So, but growing up as a Ruby was tough in the sense of, you know, there was a couple of very traumatic things that happened when I was a kid. And I think that really is what drove my reasoning to want to fly under the radar. There was a lot of attention. My dad was in a horrific car accident that started the rumor mill because of the situation that had happened. You know, it was not good. Oprah was reaching out. She wanted an exclusive. We were on front pages of magazines and, you know, kids at school teasing me about some things that happened. And I think my parents, you know, my dad ended up just really at rock bottom, jumped out of a car, and he had a head injury. He was pronounced brain dead. And so that was tough. He was in a coma for a month. Miraculously, he pulled through, and anytime he thinks about it now, he cries just thinking what would have been for the family. So God's grace was just hovering over him and over our family. But that caused a lot of, you know, embarrassment and things that happen with kids that probably not normal. The flip side of that, I wouldn't change my childhood at all. I love my dad so much. He is my idol. He is the smartest man that I know and the best business person that I know, and showed tremendous love to my brothers and I. And now I'm proud and I wouldn't change anything, but that can be tough as a kid. And even my kids today, you know, they're pretty normal. I keep them normal, but they still have times where it's like, Mom, don't embarrass me. Well, this was like exponential when Jeffrey B. is your father. But man, he's amazing. I love it. And I wouldn't change anything about it.
Yeah. Well, and I have told you offline, we could probably do a whole podcast just Jeff Rubyisms, you know, because your dad has just gotten in, and we're going to talk about some of those. But take us back, though, because your dad had something like a rags to riches story. It didn't start out well for him. He had a hard life growing up. So tell us a little bit about your dad's background.
Yeah, he ran away from home when he was 15 years old. No one really ever claimed him as, you know, his father. His mom was married four times. He calls them his forefathers. And he had no real relationship with any male figures in his life that he really wanted to make proud. So he was hitting rock bottom at 15 years old. He runs away, he's sleeping under the boardwalk in New Jersey, and a high school football coach took him under his wing. And he essentially went from failing to being a complete, you know, sitting the bench as an athlete to an All-American, going to Cornell on a full ride scholarship, going undefeated in wrestling. And when he graduated from Cornell, Weingartner Hammonds, who's the hospitality group, a great one, recruited him. And he moved to Cincinnati because he was a Reds fan. That was really the only reason. It was at Syracuse. And he made great friends at the Holiday Inns that he ran. And he was always a promoter. He was always a promoter, very, very good at marketing, and he turned the Holiday Inn into the place people wanted to be at, and including the Reds. And so through the relationships that he made with Pete Rose and Johnny Bench, they backed him on his first restaurant, The Precinct, which is the longest fine dining white tablecloth restaurant in Cincinnati. And that was the flagship. That's what started his career. And then basically from there, he didn't grow too fast. That's like a huge warning for people ask me questions, you know, advice or whatnot, especially in the restaurant business that is not the most stable. Is, you know, he did such a good job. Just stick to the knitting, like do the basics, right? And he ran a great, great restaurant for many years and then opened one more, but very slowly. And he said, I would rather watch my children grow, not my restaurants grow. But then there became a point where after, you know, he put us through all of the training, hands-on operations, 15 years of working in the restaurants, where we were finally in a position to join our corporate team. And by team, I want to say there was five people, and now we're 40, but empowered me to build the team and expand the company. And now we're, like you said, seven restaurants and about 850 employees.
Yeah, it's such a remarkable story. Well, your dad, and you've already kind of alluded to this a little bit, and, you know, Brittany, but he did tell you guys, you know, find out what you love to do. Find out what you would do for free, you know, and make that your career. And that is precisely, I mean, you grew up kind of watching the restaurant business. So I think you were like five or something like that and had already decided kind of what you wanted to do. So, you know, you've done a lot. I think I counted up. I think you've worked in just about every restaurant and you've had 11 roles. So you started out as a hostess at the waterfront, and then you've been assistant manager, corporate service director, director of guest relations. I mean, you've had a lot of different roles. And I love that about your dad too. You know, you said you wanted to be in the corporate like earlier, but he said, you know, no, I all my kids, they started out at the bottom. you know, and you and I have talked about that offline and the respect that you guys have from the frontline employees, Brittany, is probably so much greater because they know you've done the job. You've done the job and you have even more empathy and understanding of what their job is, but they respect you guys for that.
Yeah, to your point, I thought when I got my undergrads from University of Cincinnati and I was just ready to, you know, all right, I'm ready to take over. And he's laughing. He's like, put on a server uniform. So I did that. And then I went to culinary school truly just because I'm a perfectionist. I'm a recovering perfectionist, I will say that. And I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was talking about when I spoke to our chefs. And that's where I fell in love with cooking. And so my brothers and I do this because we absolutely love restaurants, hospitality, and food. That's it. This isn't like we're on some huge growth plan to have 20, 30 restaurants and sell the company. I mean, this is like, we do this because we love it. We have an incredible opportunity to blow people away. I think the bigger picture for us is there's something sexy about the restaurant business and the ability to make a difference by relationships we have, whether it's celebrities, politicians, picking up the phone, getting on a phone with the governor. It's nice to come to a Jeff Ruby restaurant and have USDA prime steak, some wine and great desserts. I gave a TED talk on that, but for us, that's the way that we're using our footprint to be able to have change, make change within the foster care system, which is our cause. And that's the bigger vision. You know, we have our vision statement is to very, very simple. It's a culture of care for our communities, our employees, and our guests. And there's an easy way to do that when you have great restaurants. It's not as easy, you know, to open up the doors to the manufacturing company or the IT company. People want to be in our restaurants. And that's what we do. And we love to do it.
Well, wow. There's so much packed in there. There's so much packed into what you just said, because really and truly at the end of the day, it's a love for people. It's a love for people and making that emotional connection with the people that come into your restaurant. You can totally just make their day, right, Brittany, by the service and the outstanding meal that they have. I mean, wow. I mean, you're right. It's special. You know, and you guys have been so successful. In fact, I told you, I'm a big TripAdvisor. I read TripAdvisor. I read, every Google review of things. I mean, before I purchase, but yeah, I did go and read some reviews on the Jeff Ruby restaurants. And I'm going to read just a few of these. The experience was unbelievable. From beginning to end, it was hands down the best restaurant experience of my life. I mean, that is crazy, Brittany. Food was mouthwatering. Staff was super friendly, helpful. Atmosphere was breathtaking. It is said that you get what you pay for. And that is what we received. The best food, the best service, the best eating experience of my 42-year life. Hats off to you and your team. Keep doing what you do. Here's another one. The precinct never disappoints. Went out on a limb this visit and tried the salmon. Wow. The mac and cheese is a must order. We also tried the peanut butter pie for dessert. It was amazing. Very rich, but perfect flavor and texture. A mind-blowing experience. I mean, I've got many reviews here, Brittany, and it's crazy. But, you know, this culture of caring, not only for your employees, but for every customer that comes in, you know, I think that's what kind of sets you guys apart. But let me ask you this, and then we'll take a quick break. But I know these last few years have been just really difficult. I mean, a lot of restaurants had to close their doors, right? Because people were not going to the restaurants. How did you guys pivot? How did you handle things during this pandemic that we just came out of?
Wow. So 100,000 restaurants closed permanently forever. They'll never reopen their doors. And that what's absolutely heartbreaking is when you talk about my dad and the American dream, that is, restaurants are the American dream and we need restaurants to survive, which is why I was so floored that we were being shut down and not deemed essential, being 51% of the food supply chain in America and the number two largest employer. So I think for me, I stepped in to advocate for my industry. And before I knew it, it was on the national level, at the federal level, and lobbying for the PPP to where we got that thing approved by a call to Senator Johnson in Wisconsin. He was the only one holding up the PPP, and the expiration was the time was running out. And on the call, he signed off, and it hit the news the next day. And unbelievable opportunity, as I said, to be able to pick up a phone and just call whoever we need to make things happen. And that was quite the experience for me and a learning opportunity where I really made a decision that I'm not just going to sit back. I'm going to insert myself and kind of put myself on a PR tour to be able to lobby for restaurants. So for us, that was a scary time. Wrote my own executive summary for a line of credit to the bank when I just, you know, basically furloughed 225 people overnight. My dad said it's the saddest day of his career. I will never forget him saying that. Next day, I was doing a press conference for Mayor Cranley in Cincinnati, just begging people to please support via carryout. I was on Governor DeWine's task force, and we were the first ones to reopen restaurants in the entire country, really. And along with 30 other operators from Ohio, we basically wrote the book on the Dine Safe Ohio order. And so it was a lot. And if you would have told me then, a year later, we'd be opening a 13,000 square foot steakhouse. And beyond that, 6 months after that, we're going to open a events and catering new venture. I would have said, you're absolutely crazy. But here we are. And so it was sad, and I'm still sad. You know, what's interesting right now happening is restaurants were guaranteed the employee tax retention credit and they paid taxes on it. And we're 2 years out and the restaurants haven't gotten it. So there's still so much work to be done. And I'm really at this point not doing it for our company because we're strong. It's the mom and pops that people need to support. It's the small businesses. And I don't think we're huge. We're 7 restaurants. We're not a huge chain steakhouse and we don't want to be one. But it definitely was for everyone in whatever way, an experience that we'll never forget.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I love, Brittany, how you went and advocated. And you're doing it still. And you said it's not for you guys. You know, it's for the other mom and pops out there that need to continue. So I love that you stepped in. I mean, I always say, you may not like the way that things are going or things could be really difficult, but don't just stand on the sideline and complain about it. And you guys did not do that. You rolled up your sleeve and you got busy. So that is great leadership. Well, I tell you, we've got so much more to talk about, but we do need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Brittany Ruby Miller.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
Gosh, Brittany, we've talked about so many things and there's so many other things I want to talk about. I would encourage our listeners, though, you've written this book, you know, The 5-Star Life, The Faithful Fight to Overcome Obstacles and Pursue Excellence. And there's just so much good stuff in there. One story I read, and I know we have not talked about this, but I want you to tell our listeners about this story. I cracked up when I read the story about your dad when you were in high school. Go into every bar and every bouncer. You're like 16 years old, you know, and he goes to every one of them and says, if Brittany ever comes in here with a fake ID and you let her in, I will shut you down. And I just cracked up at that story. So, you know, tell our listeners a little bit more about that story. And then we've got a lot more things to talk about.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I was 16 going to bars and he knew it. And he carries some weight in Cincinnati. And I thought I was cool with my friends and had a fake ID with a scanned, basically laminated type of, you know, sticker on top of my license cut around. And it worked for a while until he went and told the bouncers and they peeled it off and said, get home and go tell your dad. Actually, they said, we're going to mail this to your dad. We have your address. And that was that. So I laugh about it now, but that's the type of dad that he was. Grateful because it was a loving father who was protecting me and also wanted to mortify his daughter and prove a lesson that he was ultimately the boss. And there's nothing in Cincinnati that I'm going to pull on him.
I mean, that is such an amazing story. And, you know, you and I've talked about it and you said you were mortified and not happy with him. But, you know, in retrospect, it's like, I'm so grateful because where would I be if I hadn't had a father that was protective like that, you know? So, Brittany, there's so much here, but here's what I would love to talk about. So, you know, you've risen through the ranks. You are the CEO of a very well-known you know, culinary experience. A lot of people, you're married to Caleb Miller, former NFL for the Cincinnati Bengals, football player. You have four beautiful children, Caden, Gracie, Hannah, and Asher. You know, a lot of people will look at you, Brittany, and think you've lived this really charmed life, that everything in Brittany Ruby Miller's life is perfect. But I know that everything has not been unicorns and rainbows for you. And you've had some really hard things. I mean, you know, your dad, you've already kind of talked about that, but your dad was in a very serious car accident, not knowing if he was going to live or not. You know, Caleb had an injury, right? And when he was playing against the Seahawks in 2007, that basically ended his football career. You had seizures at one point. You started having seizures and you were driving. I mean, you could have been in a very serious car accident. I mean, you've had a lot of hard things in your life. But if you would be willing to do this, I would love for you to talk a little bit about the specific journey trying to have a family. And I'd love for you to tell our listeners about Grace Catano.
Oh, wow. Man, you do a lot of research. I got to tell you, I was telling somebody yesterday, side note, but I get asked to do a lot of podcasts. I'm sure you do too. I mean, when you're a business leader, and sometimes it's like getting asked to do jury duty because it's there's so many things that I can say that just become the same exact thing. What you do really well that not a lot of people hosts do is do the research. And so I just appreciate that you did that because we can talk very surface level or we can go deep and try to make an impact for the listeners. And so, yeah, I wrote a book. It's called Five Star Life. I grew up knowing five stars in our restaurants was what we strive for. And that's all that mattered was when Polly Campbell, our food critic, came in, it better be five stars. And so having a background in fine dining and hospitality, but really the premise is about a five-star life that, you know, I was living a one-star life for, gosh, many, many years through my childhood, you know, through adolescence, through college, through marriage. And we should all be striving for five stars, that five-star experience for our lives. And just real quick tidbit, you know, my dad didn't try to commit suicide. I asked him that many years, like down the road. He was just annoyed. He got in a fight with my mom. They were going 30 miles an hour and he jumped out and he basically was brain dead. And so just he was in a coma for a month and we didn't think he was going to make it. That was really traumatic news to get at, that, you know, 5 years old, basically. And he did. And so, you know, tough thing. I mean, he's got still lingering side effects, but he's here and that's all that matters. But, you know, so that happens. I, as you know, 16 years old going to bars, that's not a good thing. You know, I never really got into drugs, but I definitely was underage drinking and partying and didn't have any self-worth, didn't have a true identity about, you know, who God wants me to be at all. And that I was a child of his and that I was loved no matter what. And then I meet my now husband. And yeah, he has a career-ending back injury. He's lucky, you know, he was basically paralyzed for a split second. He felt nothing. Warmth came over his body and he was able to walk off the field. But that was that. And then so he hits severe depression. He is basically at rock bottom. We're newlyweds. And then he goes through a transformation. And part of that transformation, which was a great thing, was, oh, by the way, I should confess to multiple affairs with you, with other women while we've been married. And I'm like, so he confesses to that. At the same time, we're going through miscarriages. I'm going to get to Grace Catano real quick. I just want to give a little bit of a backstory here. But, you know, we're going through miscarriages. He tells me he needs to go get help. He goes to the Meyer Clinic, the Paul Meyer Clinic, which is, I think, the best psychiatric Christian place that you can possibly go to in America. I've seen lives completely transformed. I've sent multiple employees there and every single one of them is better and has been transformed. And so he goes and he gets help. And then they tell me I need to go. And so I go to the Meyer Clinic and I get help. And here we are now trying to get our life back on track. And we have three pregnancy failures within 4 years. So miscarriage. And then I had a neural tube defect at 13 weeks. I found out that the skull didn't form. And I carry a gene mutation called the MTHFR gene mutation. And basically, I only have a 33% chance of ever having a healthy baby. And that was terrible news. And then I had an ectopic pregnancy. At this point, I'm hitting rock bottom. And Caleb was going on a mission trip. When he was done playing and going through his transformation, he really became an international, like international missions is just his thing. So, you know, Africa and with Iris Global doing some stuff and Mozambique, but the Philippines was one that he hadn't gone on. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to go with you. So the reason why I said I was going to go, I didn't really have interest in going to the Philippines until I learned that my doctor made a mistake and advised Caleb that it was okay for him to get live vaccines. He had to get all kinds of vaccinations to go to the Philippines. And then the doctor calls back and says, you need to wait 3 months, no babies. And there's just not enough research. And we want to be really careful because you have so many issues. So I'm deflated. I'm like, you know what? At this point, I'm going to the Philippines. I take a pregnancy test just to be sure because the guy's like, do not, you know, find out you're pregnant in a third world country. So off we go. Took a pregnancy test actually at the airport with my pastor's wife was like, you know, just we went with our church and she was praying for me and she's like, just get on the plane and go, you know, but I wanted to show her, see, like, it's not, I'm not pregnant, right? I'm not pregnant. I'm crazy. Should I get on this plane? Yep. You should go. You're good. Anyways, I started speaking, you know, I was asked to speak to about 2000 youth at this outreach in a huge stadium with a Filipino translator. And I didn't even know what I was going to talk about. It was really, it was just, what am I going to talk about? I'm miserable. I'm depressed. I've been given this horrible news that it's very unlikely I'm going to have babies. But I was doing a Beth Moore Bible study at the time, and it said, don't let man's percentages limit God's possibilities. And that's the, I just spoke it into existence. I got up on stage and said, I'm going to be a mom one day. And everybody started cheering. And I got off this stage and Grace Gattano, who's the founder of One Way Outreach, said, can I pray for you? She puts her hands on my belly with her best friend, Miriam, and immediate heat. And I took a pregnancy test the next day and I was positive and Grace Ruby Miller was born December 16th. She told me, she said, you're going to have a baby this year. And I said, well, you know, it's April. There's no way. I know I'm not pregnant. She goes, maybe. I said, do you think maybe I'll get pregnant this year? She said, no, your baby's going to be born this year. And 2 weeks before the end of the year, she was born. And so that was pretty wild. An unbelievable experience. Miracles are real. You know, I didn't even have any of the medicine or anything that they wanted me to be on, hormones and all of that to prevent the miscarriage happening again. But now we have three. I have three with Caleb, and he has, my stepson is 17 years old, but we have Asher, who's 5, and Hannah, who's 9, and Grace, who's 11. And it is all by the grace of God. And Grace Gattano praying for us.
Grace Gattano. And, you know, and so Gracie actually has multiple meanings, you know, Grace Gattano, the grace of God. I mean, I love that story. I mean, I'm actually teary eyed just listening to you tell it. Yeah. So, you know, we all have stories and we all have things, tough things, you know, that we have to go through. But I know, Brittany, your faith has been the thing that has like carried you through, you know, those things. So, I mean, I want you to talk just a little bit about the foundation, because you guys have a heart for children in poverty. And I know that Cincinnati, there's a lot of Ohio, there's a lot of kids in the foster care system, just like there are here in Missouri. But tell me a little bit about the foundation. What are you guys hoping to accomplish? What is your heart around the foundation?
So the Jeff Ruby Foundation, we founded it. We went through strategic planning, founded it, launched it, built it, you know, basically Caleb really founded it based on all of his experience with the mission field and citywide work that he was doing with nonprofits. And we founded it and built it, and then COVID hit. So we just relaunched it, which we're pretty excited about, like a few weeks ago. So here we are, and we're ready to go again. But essentially, you know, I had like 20 surrogate brothers growing up. My dad just, again, somebody took him in. Did he formally adopt him? No. Was he formally foster cared? No. It's just one person made an impact in his life, and he knew he could rely on him. And my dad, in turn, then did that to 20 other young men. And it was a great experience for me and my brothers. They're just incredible. I mean, they are everything from military to fire chiefs to business people now. And for his 70th birthday, the fundraiser, we brought them all up on stage one by one, and it was special. So he was dad to many, many kids. And there's a lot of kids in the foster care system who need a home. And as I mentioned, we have great restaurants where we can do some political work. We've been to DC multiple times. And honestly, sitting down with city leaders and politicians to really talk about how do we move the needle with poverty. And we believe it starts with this cycle of foster care system, foster kids who are in a system that is tough. So that's basically what we're trying to do. We want to place kids. We want to be part of that. And so we support a lot of grassroots nonprofits. We're big with kinship care and kinship and wraparound care and other creative ideas that there's a lot of great nonprofits are doing to be able to help kids, even if you don't have the ability to formally foster, to still have influence in their lives. So we will have our first fundraiser in June at our new event center. So I hope you'll come up. And that's basically it. And the other piece I will say is, you know, we don't actually do the work. We just fund other nonprofits that we feel are doing really, really great work, but don't have the structure or the infrastructure to be able to do things on a large scale. So we raise money at fundraisers and help support the nonprofits here around Cincinnati.
Yeah. If our listeners wanted to get involved in that somehow, Brittany, how would they find you?
JeffRuby.com. So foundation should be up there on the...
Good. Awesome. Very good. Well, one more question, then we're going to talk about something extra. Brittany, I mean, you've got a lot going on. You got four kids. I'm hoping that Caden, you'd said that he may be coming to Mizzou, which would be so awesome, which means you and Caleb hopefully will be in Missouri a little bit more, you know,
yep.
So that's that far from St. Louis. But, you know, you've got kids, you're running the Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment Group, you're, you know, you got a husband. I mean, you're doing so much in the community. How do you, Brittany, how do you stay centered and how do you stay grounded and how do you keep all of the plates spinning for you personally?
Day by day. I don't believe in work-life balance. I just believe of being intentional and that's it. So I just, for me personally, the idea that like, I just need to have all the structure and balance to me is just like, it's never going to happen. And so it's every day I check in with the kids. How's your love tank? You know, today Hannah came out to my car. I was driving into work and she said, I need a date this weekend because my love tank's a little empty. And I said, you got it. They know I would drop anything, anytime to spend time with them. Nothing else matters. I do schedule. I think this is, I guess, a good tool. I schedule a lot of short trips with them. I put it on the calendar. So I do, you know, we're going to be gone for Thanksgiving for a week. That to me is like, I'll have a week of intentional time with them. They understand leading up to that, it's going to be, mom's going to be busy. And I'm pretty holistic. So I take care of my body, take care of my mind. I don't read as much as I would like to. I'm getting my master's right now, my MBA, just for fun. You know, I thought that'd be another thing I should throw on the plate. So when I'm not in school, that's usually my time. But I basically have lowered any expectation that it's ever going to be perfect. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's good words. Good words there. Well, Brittany, what do you believe is something extra or extras? I'll give you a few that every leader needs to lead well.
I think the something extra, I could say, you know, empathy, sensitivity, caring, all of that. To me, that goes without saying. Like, you better have all of that. The something extra is the transparency that I've got to have hard conversations sometimes with my team. And call it positive tension, but deep down, they know my heart. They choose, right? They're choosing to work for us for a reason. So I think there's a lot of trust. But positive tension to me and accountability that they still have to perform and do the best job that they can possibly do has been something that I have found to be very beneficial. Because if you're just, it's like, if you're too easy on kids, right, or too easy on your employees, and everybody is all the time, it's rainbows and unicorns. It's just, there's not a level of respect. And I think one of the things one of my mentors said is when you have to have those tough conversations, you want somebody walking out of your office saying, man, I feel good about that black eye. I feel good. I want to go and change. I'm like, yeah, that felt good. I needed it. And so there's all the feel good stuff, but I mean, I'll call a spade. I can be very direct. I can be very transparent, sometimes probably too transactional, but at the heart of it, I think your employees need to know that you're a good quality person and you love them and that you care and that you're working in the best interest of your company and also your people.
Yeah. Well, and Brittany, the thing is, when you have those things in place, when you have the love and the care and the concern and that they know that you really do care about them, you can have those hard conversations. It's easier to have that when that trust is there. If the trust is not there, then that is when those conversations go poorly.
That's the part you can't fake that. That's what I'm saying. As long as they know at the core who you are, then the trust is there to be able to have the positive tension.
Yeah. Well, one more thing. What are you most excited about right now?
What am I most? Okay. My operating plan for 2023. I don't know. I guess that's it. That sounds so boring, but we have some big goals for next year. And so I want to get it on paper and look at it. We just had a strategic planning meeting yesterday with my executive team. So that's it. Work-wise, family-wise, I'm just looking forward to taking a week off and being with them on the beach.
Yes, that sounds awesome. Well, Brittany, this has been so much fun. Literally, I think I could spend hours and hours just talking to you about all kinds of things, but we don't have that kind of time and we don't want to do that to our listeners. But I just appreciate you making the time today to be on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.